John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
It is Friday, June 2nd, 2023. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well as we get you set for the first weekend of June baseball, the 2023 edition. Dude, good series this weekend, huh?
There's a lot of good series. You even have a question about that towards the end here, so I won't go into which one is my favorite because that's for the show. But yes, okay. I wish I could be joining you. You're going to the Dodgers-Yankees series. I think you're going tonight. So if you're at Dodger Stadium, make sure you yell at C. Rosie and tell him how beautiful he looks because he needs those compliments from time to time.
Yeah, but you or if you just want to yell at me. It doesn't have to be beauty stuff. It could just be whatever. You just want
it
to
yell.
It
is nice when people we go to these fields and people, you know, shout us out. I like that. And it's what's funny is because we're there with like a bunch of the other baseball media or even around the players. And, you know, none of the other media gets shouted out. So thank you, guys, because that makes us feel special.
That certainly does. So let's start with that big old series between the Dodgers and the Yankees out in Chavez Ravine. The most interesting storyline for you would be what?
I think it's just everybody returning for the Yankees and then them becoming like a full go type team. You went into Seattle. You took a series, played two really good games, and you got George Kirby. So what? You even had a chance in that one. Stanton coming back, Donaldson coming back, Tommy Conley coming back. Canley. Oh my, it's none of the ones I said. That's embarrassing for me. Them coming back, I think that's awesome. And then we're gonna see the two aces not going against each other, which kind of stinks. I love to see Kershaw Cole, but both of them are pitching. So I think the storyline for me is thank goodness for the new schedule that we're getting to see these teams play every single year. And number two, weekend series, the stars are back. Stanton in Dodger Stadium, I think, is a massive storyline. Hometown boy, like, loves playing there. It's just star studded. I think this is like these are the types of series that baseball has been missing for so long. And now that we have this new schedule, we're going to get every single year, and it's great for the game of baseball.
So Stanton, I think he's actually one of the guys that hit the ball out of Dodger Stadium.
Yes.
It might have been during BP or something, but
I think he did during a game.
As a
Marlin.
Yeah. To me, the most interesting part is the Dodgers pitching. So tonight they throw Kershaw, who after a really fast start has been struggling the last few starts. We'll see how that goes. But then they send out Grove and Miller on Saturday and Sunday. National TV games. Grove has 10 big league starts. Miller has 2. And you are facing a Yankees team, which, yes, got shut out Wednesday in Seattle, but before that had scored 10 runs in their 3 prior games. And Aaron Judge, he seems to have found it. Certainly the home run ball. 4 in his last 4 games. He's only played 3 games at Dodger Stadium. Got 3 homers there. So there's going to be a lot of big names out there checking out. Now that the Lakers are no longer in contention, everybody's turned their attention to the Dodgers.
Some stars in that front
row. There will be plenty of stars out there going, look at Aaron Judge. Look how big he is. He plays baseball? Like all these people that have no idea what happens in the game, but they just want to have their faces shown while they're at Dodger Stadium. So I think how they pitch to Aaron Judge and how these young guys kind of handle the bright lights for the first time will be really fascinating.
Can I tell you how you pitch to Aaron Judge? Don't pitch to him. Make the other guys beat you. And you know what? The Yankees did do that. The bottom of their lineup did well in the series against Seattle, but dude, don't let Aaron Judge beat you. Like, make Stanton, who's just getting back in, you know, to big league mode, beat you. Or better yet, don't let either of those two guys beat you and pitch to the rest of this lineup.
Yeah, and by the way, one other guy to keep your eye on is Freddie Freeman, who went nuts in the month of May, put up numbers that we had never seen before. I mean, the number of hits he got in that month, he is having an MVP-type season.
No, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous.
Right. And by the way, I know that all Braves fans will be shouting, hold on, that's Acuna. I get it. I just said MVP type season. So I get it. If I had a vote right now, I would vote for Ronald Acuna so far. So Dodgers, Yankees, a ton of fun this weekend. Chris Sale, not so much fun. He was pitching really well last night against the Cincinnati Reds. Then he got pulled from his start early. They told us it was a shoulder injury. Here is Alex Cora on the little that he knew Thursday night.
It says sore shoulder. He'll have an MRI tomorrow, and we'll know more. So hoping for the best. Obviously, it didn't look great. Thembila was down, I'll say, in the second inning.
Right.
It went from 95 to 90. I cannot be irresponsible. You know, like, we've been through this lane for a while, and we know each other. And obviously, it's not easy because of what he's gone through, but in the end, I got to take care of him.
Scale of 1 to 10, how concerned should Sox fans be?
I think pretty concerned. You know, the velo dip is something. And, you know, at the very least, I'd assume he's going to be out 2 weeks, and, you know, then we'll see what the MRI brings back. You just kicked two of your starters to the bullpen in Pivetta and Kluber. Now you're probably going to have to bring one of them back. I don't know which one they will. So it is concerning because it's not a strong point for them. And Sale has been doing really well in the month of May. Had a really bad April, but picked it up in May. And, you know, their offense can go, but we, from the get-go, we said, like, the pitching has to do enough. And you're losing, I mean, you know, probably your best starter this season. And now you're bringing a guy that you had to boot back to the bullpen, back into your rotation. So it's just not ideal, obviously. So 1 to 10, I will say, for Sox fans, it's a 7. Pretty far up there.
I would say it's 41 is number.
Oh.
Just based on the history, like, everything about it, just. He's going to be one of those guys, we're going to look back on his career, and it's going to be the what if. As great as he's been, like, his first 6 or 7 seasons were utterly dominant. I mean, he was putting up Cy Young finishes in the top 5 left and right and things we hadn't seen. And, man, now all you think about is injuries. So even with him pitching so well in the month of May and before last night where he was throwing the ball well, he had been 4-0 with a 2.27 ERA and 35 strikeouts in his previous 5 starts. Maybe it's not peak Sale, but it's really damn good Chris Sale. And guess where the Red Sox were? Last place. So if they're last place with him throwing the ball that well, where the heck is this team going to go, particularly with 10 of their next 16 now against the Rays and the Yankees?
Yeah, you can almost dream upon, like, Sale, Bayo, and Whitlock. Like, you can dream upon that, even though there's been some mixed results for all of those guys. But with Sale out, it's not a great look going forward for their starting pitching. But look, they have a great offense. Their bullpen can get it done. I don't know what they do to replace Sale. I don't think they'd have much right now. So it's a blow. I don't think it takes them out of everything, but it definitely, I'm not going to go 41 out of 10, Chris, but I went 7 out of 10.
To me, it's like a 4-alarm fire.
Yeah.
It just is. And I hope that everything's clear on the MRI. And I hope it just is something that he needs a little bit of rest. But, you know, once again, how long he rests, then you've got to equate that to how long it will take him to fire up again.
Yeah.
Like, there's a possibility, right? If he's down for, let's say, and I even hate doing this, but because of the time of day that we're taping this show, we don't have MRI results or any further information. So if he's out 3 weeks, you basically have to double that in terms of his ability to fire up. Then we're looking at past the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's not a great scenario. And I feel for him, too.
Of course you do. I mean, he's been through a lot of stuff physically. A lot of stuff. That ain't good. All right, we'll keep our fingers crossed that there's no structural damage on the MRI, and we'll update it, obviously, as that news becomes available. All right, I want to welcome everybody to the world of Sports Cards Reimagined. So whether you're a brand new collector, that's somebody like me, or you have shoeboxes full of cards in your attic, Plouffe has got them lying all over his house. The Sports Card Investor app will completely change the way you buy, sell, and collect. You can jumpstart your collection by finding the best prices of cards for your favorite players, helping you build a one-of-a-kind collection and save some dough along the way. You easily track the value of your favorite cards. You find the best prices with eBay deals and see which players are on the rise, all from the palm of your hand. You just pick up your phone and off you go. They've got up-to-date sales data on over 2 million cards, so you'll always know exactly what your collection is worth, when to buy or sell. Available for free in Google Play and the App Store, reimagine how you collect and download the Sports Card Investor app today. It is that simple, people. Floof, you got to have that thing on your phone, don't you?
Got it. Ready to go. Ready to make some purchases. You know, some of those young, you know, I look for the young guys. Okay. Drew Jones. Give me him. Give me Holiday. Give me these guys. I love watching them.
So like,
even get in some
stocks?
Ellie De La Cruz. His stuff is up, but like, I still think, you know, like once you hit the big leagues and you have some success, that's when they really take off. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Did I see that Ellie De La Cruz had a 5 strikeout game last night?
Who cares? He probably swung the bat 300 miles an hour or something.
That's awesome. Hey, congrats to Dusty Baker, future Hall of Famer. Moved into sole possession of 8th place on the all-time managerial wins list. That is awesome. Astros take the first of 4 against the Angels. But how about LA's rookie Ben Joyce? The reliever has now thrown 21 fastballs in the 2 games he's appeared in the big leagues. Not one has been less than 100 miles an hour. How big a deal is that to you?
The velo, it's a big deal. I mean, we know what this guy can do. We've known him since college when he was, you know, I'm not going to say breaking the internet, but we saw a lot of clips of him in college. I think I just gave this guy an award on Talking Baseball. It's a very beautiful award based on the movie 300. So go check that out. I think what the Angels are doing is fascinating, and I think it's just a cool thing to follow. And the fact that they're trying everything to stay in contention and bringing guys up that you drafted the year prior is not commonplace in the big leagues, and they're doing that with this guy. How many innings do you have under his belt? He had 28 2/3 innings under his belt in the minor leagues, and now he's in the show. I think what's been impressive so far for me is the walks. He hasn't walked anybody in these 2 innings, and he really struggled with that in AAA this year. 13 walks in 15 2/3 innings. So this guy can be an absolute difference maker. You know, if you're any team, you understand the importance of high leverage bullpen and the ability to strike people out. You can put out fires and win yourself ball games by having these guys come in and save a starter or go through the heart of a lineup with no trouble. That's what Ben Joyce is going to be for these Angels going forward. So it's a big deal that he's up. I think what they're doing, I've talked a lot of crap about Perry there, the GM, Manasian. I think he's done a good job putting together this roster. I don't think these Angels are going anywhere. If everyone stays healthy, they're going to be in it. And the 2 guys, Neto and Joyce, are going to be big parts of it.
I think it's a big deal because who doesn't like seeing a guy throw 102 miles an hour? Like, it's awesome.
105. Like, eat those cheese.
I know. It reminds me a little bit of when Chapman came up, right? They called him the Cuban Missile. Coming out of the bullpen, here he was, you know, he was kind of this mythic creature, if you will, because he's so big and his shoulders are so broad, and he'd come out and just throw. They weren't fastballs, they were fireballs. Like, there was a little vapor trail on him. Did you face him when he was throwing like 105?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I faced him in Cincinnati. You know,
that's what I'm talking about. Right?
Yeah, yeah. He was throwing cheese.
Okay.
I watched Josh Willingham take him up top, though. That was
Did?
Yeah.
Okay. How much different is it than a guy who throws 99?
I'll be honest. Once you get past, and this is me because, you know, at the time that I was playing, the average fastball was less than it is now. But I think once you get like 90, above like 95, like 96, 97, 98, that's a whole different level. And then you get to the hundreds. And it's a new tier if there's some movement. Like once you get past like 97 and it's straight, I think it all kind of looks the same. It's fast. You have to be ready for it. But if it's straight, you can get the barrel to the ball. Talk to any big league hitter. They don't care how fast you throw. If it's straight, we're going to get to it. But if you can throw like his ball's like, it's moving at that speed. That's the difference, is if you can have a little bit of movement, your margin for error goes from here to a big league hitter to here to a big league hitter. If you're moving the ball at that speed.
The other thing about Joyce is that, you know, we live in the social media era, right? That plays so well with, I mean, you could just shotgun his 21 pitches or whatever over 100 miles an hour, and we'll just sit and watch it all day in our hands. So it just plays great. I just think it's fascinating what's going on. I love that they called him up. He and Bachman both just throw cheese. So we'll see if it can help them out. And by the way, shitty call last night on, was it Ward with the bases loaded? That was rough.
6'5", 225 Ben Joyce is. So that's, you know, already an intimidating figure. Then he throws the fastball that hard. He was 5'4" entering high school. So guys, if you're out there, if we got any 14-year-olds listening and you're only 5'4", you never know.
Mm-hmm. Just put yourself on the stretching machine. That always works. Hey, we've known ever since the advent of the pitch clock in Major League Baseball that Max Scherzer is not a fan. He tried the quick pitch stuff in spring training. He pushed the limits. He has complained about it an awful lot, and that continued Thursday after he took care of business against the Philadelphia Phillies. Middle of the game, he wants to take his usual 8 warm-up tosses, and the umpire, Trip Gibson, had to stop him because the catcher made the last out of the previous inning, didn't get dressed quick enough for him to get all 8 pitches. Afterward, Max let loose.
You know, I'm talking to Tripp, and he, you know, he's sitting there saying, like, it's not, I can't do anything about it because if I let you throw the pitch, then, you know, MLB gets mad at him. And so this goes back to, you know, why do we need a pitch clock for that situation? You know, if I throw one more pitch, what, I'm 1 second slower? Like, why can't the umpire have discretion in that situation to allow a pitcher to throw his 8 normal warm-up pitches? Why do we have to be so anal about this to have the clock up everybody's face, shoving in everybody's face, and try to stop out every little single second that's going through the game?
The funniest part of the clip, and if you're just joining us on the podcast version, just audio only, please go over to the YouTube. The funniest part is the one reporter, when Max says, why do I have to be so anal about it? The reporter back there going, he's giggling like a little 12-year-old in sixth grade or something. Do you follow Max? Are you like on board this train, or are you just like, just figure out a way to deal with it, dude, enough?
I am on board with Max because pitchers do have routines. They should be able to throw their allotted amount of warm-up pitches no matter what, unless they're being so egregious with it walking around the mound. I understand that. I have a few problems. Number one, if a catcher is taking too long, where are the position players running out there to warm him up? Where's the, you know, like somebody, like go out there and just warm the guy up. Then we avoid all of this. But also when Max says, Tripp tells him that MLB is going to get mad at me if I let you have your warm pitch. They do have discretion. They can wave the clock off. Tripp Gibson worrying about what? What is he worried about? He might get a wordy email from MLB. You can't get fired, bro. You can't get fired, especially for that. If you say, hey, Max freaking Scherzer needed an extra warm-up pitch because the catcher was the last hitter in the inning, what are you going to get in trouble? What's going to happen? They don't get fined. They don't get docked anything. So what trouble is he going to get in? I can't stand that. If you want to be a big boy umpire, make some big boy decisions, okay? Like, wave it off. And take an email, because that's the only thing that's going to happen to you. I just can't stand that. So number one, if you're a position player on the Mets, get your butt out there and warm Max Scherzer up. More importantly, though, Tripp, wave it off and let the pitcher throw his allotted amount of pitches as long as he's not being egregious with his time. Because you're not going to get in trouble, bro. You can't get in trouble.
This is where my little league coaching would have come in handy, because I would have gotten next to the other catcher and said, hey, if he's the last out, run out there and just make sure that Max can get his full allotment. That's all. Number one, you are right on that. That's the first thing I thought of, because I'm like really worried about stuff like that, those little details.
I like that.
I didn't think about, you know, what you just said with Trip Gibson until you brought it up. The only question I've got is, if Major League Baseball gets mad at him, does that possibly cost him working an all-star game or a playoff series or something like that? And then it takes money out
it
of his
shouldn't.
Pocket.
It shouldn't. That'd be ridiculous.
Well, hold on. You know that MLB can hold a grudge with the best of them. You know that.
I mean, you want me to get deeper into this and start yelling more into my microphone? Because I will. No. I don't think that they would hold that against him so much that he wouldn't start a playoff game. Like, those, you know, they have report cards, and like the guys that they deem best available will go. And I don't think he'll get docked because he let one guy, you know, in an instance where they do have discretion. Umpires have discretion with the clock. They do.
Yeah, to me, I think we're fighting over 5 seconds here. And I understand Scherzer's complaint to a degree. It sounded a little whiny, a little on the whiny side, I suppose, because you sit there and you're like, well, wait, what's the real difference between 8 warm-up pitches and 7 warm-up pitches? I personally think that that's one thing that they should shorten anyway. Why does a guy need 8 more pitches? Throwing 106 on the day, and then what? If you go 7 innings, then you're throwing another 56 plus the number you got to throw in the bullpen. Like, I don't know, is one less really gonna
interesting
take you out of
your
routine?
You know what, I like that. I'm gonna ask we have like some like guru with a biomechanics guru with the Twins. I'm gonna ask him that, like, why are we throwing an extra 50 pitches when we're worried about pitch count? Can't we do something to warm their arm up while they're on the bench, and then maybe you throw 3 warm-up pitches just to get a little touch and feel on the mound? I like it, C-Rose.
Right. Yeah, I'm curious. I'm not saying that he's wrong. I mean, listen, he's the expert. I'm just trying to figure this out. I always said if we wanted to try and speed up the game a little bit, why don't we get rid of that shit?
Well, they're creatures of habit. That's why he's saying that, yeah.
Yes, that part I get. But sometimes you got to change the way you are a little bit. I don't know.
Why'd you get me all fired up, dude? I was having such a
I love
like,
that, man. Holy
morning.
Smokes.
You look not like as good as my morning yesterday, but still pretty good. That's
sounded like an all-timer. Okay. Hey, the bosses here at John Boy Media, they're buying you a weekend pass to go to any ballpark.
Are they?
But you can only go to one ballpark for all 3 games. Where are you going this weekend and why?
I'm going to Arizona. Mainly to hang out with my best friend, Evan Longoria. I don't know if he considers me his best friend, but we'll talk about that
another
time.
I think that's a one-sided relationship. Yes.
But the Braves come into town. Fresh off a series loss to the A's, where they haven't exactly, you know, they didn't hit the ball in that series. So good job for the A's there. And then the Diamondbacks are off a 4-game sweep of the Rockies, tied with the Dodgers for the best record in the National League. Look out. So essentially, 2 juggernauts in the National League going at it. And, you know, if you would have told me that I would have said that sentence in June and not be joking about it, if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, I would have laughed and said, ha, that's funny. But the Diamondbacks are that team. Their lineup can score against you in a bunch of different ways. The pitching's been pretty dang good. They just know how to win baseball games. So I'm curious to see how this one goes. I think this is a really, not that they need a litmus test to see how good they are, because I think they've proven it. But you know, this is the Braves we're talking about. This is a top tier franchise for the last several years, and I think this is going to be a good test for the Diamondbacks. So I would go there.
The Diamondbacks, who the co-leaders of the National League West, by the way, after yesterday's walk-off, come from behind, where Corbin Carroll had his first ever walk-off at any level of baseball. Boy, that kid's a stud. Kid is a stud. I thought about going there. I also thought about going to San Francisco, where the Baltimore Orioles are in town.
Yep.
First of all, love the ballpark. Love the ballpark. I know that Fenway and Wrigley are their own category. San Francisco, if I could only go to one ballpark the rest of my career, that's where I'm stopping. I love it on a weekend. On top of that, we haven't talked much about the Giants, but they're getting better. They brought up some really interesting young players.
Yes.
And I don't know if this leads to a wild card for them or not, but at least they played really solid baseball.
I believe they're in the wild card as of right now.
Let's see. Shall we Shall we check that out?
I think they're the last team. Yeah, they are. No, they're half game back from Miami. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're half game back. Okay. But I won't be going there this weekend. I will be going to Cincinnati, Ohio. The first place Brewers, whose hat I am donning, not because I'm rooting for them, I just love their hat, are taking on the Cincinnati Reds, who just won a series up at Fenway. And they've got a bunch of young players that are fun. Mm-hmm. Matt McClain's been awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. Steer's been awesome. Jonathan India, who will be Monday's guest on the Chris Rose rotation, has been fantastic.
Hot.
The pitching hasn't, although Hunter Green threw really well, the pitching hasn't been great. But you know what? They're hitting the shit out of the baseball. And so it's so interesting. The Reds have taken a major, major backseat in that Cincinnati area ever since Joe Burrow came into town. This weekend series, and it's a four-gamer, if they win three of four and they close within one game of the Brewers atop the division, hey, man, get you back on the front page. This is a big deal for Cincinnati. I want to see the fans show up this weekend. Good weekend series. Let's go celebrate those young guys that are on your squad. And it'll even get more interesting when Ellie De La Cruz shows up.
It seems like we're talking a lot about these teams, bringing these young kids up, and we're celebrating it, and we should, but also be cautious. If you're a fan base, and I don't mean to be like a downer. Like, there's going to be ups and downs for every. There's going to be ups and downs for every single rookie. I mean, save a few. Like, there's going to be ups and downs. Remember, like, the Brewers rookies at the beginning of the year, the freshmen, and how stoked we were on them. There's been some injuries. There's been some play that hasn't been great. Like, so as much as we talk about the Giants bringing up their guys and the Reds bringing up their guys, and even, you know, you can talk about the Diamondbacks and some of the younger guys. I don't think Corbin Carroll's a guy that's going to struggle. He's past that point. But, like, I'm cautious with talking about all these teams. I know fan bases get on me. Hey, you didn't even mention these guys. Look what they're doing. Like, I know. I'm just saying, like, there's an adjustment period that's about to happen. And then if they make that adjustment and they can continue to perform, then you're like, okay, this is legit.
Yeah, I get it. Just fun, young, fresh, exciting.
Yes.
Coming out Sunday, we are dropping the second installment of Baby Ball Players. We did the Minnesota Twins last week. People seem to enjoy it. I think we even spiced up the editing a bit more. The Dodgers one will be released, and there's a lot of big names in it. Mookie Betts, Clayton Kershaw, Freddie Freeman. My guy Miggy Rowe drops by. Really, there's some funny stuff in there. So that's coming out this weekend on our social media channels. You know, it's 9.5 minutes of fun. So there you go. We'll be doing that with a bunch of teams. And
that's what they call C. Rowe's horizontal dance. 9.5 minutes of fun.
I'll take the under.
Slow down.
All right.
A bit.
Everybody have a fantastic, healthy sporting weekend out there. We will be back on Monday on the AMP app at, I believe, probably noon Eastern.
Yes, I will be in a hotel room in Tampa.
Wait a second. No, no, no. You don't leave till the middle of the week, I thought.
I leave Sunday night.
Oh, boy. I can't wait. Fly safely in that case. Good luck to Teddy in his All-Star game. That's
awesome.
Thank
you.
For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe. Proof is Plouffe. I am Chris Rose. We will see you Monday on Baseball Today.